The book of Hebrews. Hebrews, this time chapter 10. Hebrews 10. Long portion here from verses 9 through about 9 to 20. Okay? And shall we bow our heads in prayer this time? Father, again, we thank you for the privilege which you have granted unto us of coming in your presence. And what a joy it is to know that you are pleased to come and dwell with us. And not only with us here, but with all saints that are gathering in this wide world, praising your name. Remember those among us that might be in Canada, or might be in Sacandaga, or might be at Northway Assembly. Bless them in their service and worship. But, O God, we bring before thee especially our sisters and brothers that might be under persecutions at this time. May they find your strength and wisdom and peace in all that they do. That while we can't always understand why things happen to us, we are assured that all things work together for good. And all things will eventually serve to shape us into the image of your Son. So as we read your word this morning, we ask of you please to open our eyes that we may behold the precious truths contained therein. And that will guide us in our meditation and this portion. For we ask it in the name of thy Son, O Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Hebrews 10 and 9. Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. For every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Whereof the Holy Spirit also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, This is the covenant that I will make with them. After those days, said the Lord, I will put my laws in their heart, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now, where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus Christ, by a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the profession of our faith without wavering, For he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke one unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. And the Lord will bless our hearts, the reading of his word as he has promised. Indeed, we are ever amazed at the love of God. The Lord who made all things, and the Lord who recognizes our sin, and makes every effort to reach us, to teach us, to have fellowship with us day by day, continually. We'd consider this fact of the church, which you know means called out ones. This morning we looked at a portion in Colossians which spoke, he called us out of darkness. He translated us into the kingdom of his son. And the word church means called out ones. Those who heard the voice of God. Those who responded to the call to trust his son. And they are members of his church by his spirit. And of this church, there is a head. One head. That head is Christ Jesus. That is presented to us in different forms. In his majesty, we find him in Ephesians chapter 1. Head of all principalities and powers. In his wisdom, as a body, he coordinates what the church does. In his unsurpassing love, he is the husband, as in a home. He is the head of the bride, the head of the church. Then, he's a foundation stone. He's the head cornerstone. But for a few weeks, we took another picture. You see, the Lord has all these pictures to help us to grasp how great a work God did for you and for me when he sent his son into the world to die for our sins. We consider the question of Christ being the high priest. And that brings lots of other thoughts, because it brings us to the tabernacle which the Israelites used. We were reminded when we looked at he, the head of the cornerstone, we read 1 Peter chapter 2, that drew this thought that not only he is the high priest, but all members of the church, all those who yield themselves to Jesus Christ and are transformed by his spirit, are made priests unto him to offer spiritual sacrifices unto God. So as we looked upon this question of the high priest and the functions of priest, the last time we took a quick run at the basic responsibilities of the priest, the high priest. We saw he had two basic functions. One, to present God to man. And then secondly, to bring man to God. And God is always reaching out to man. Reaching out. And one of the solemn functions of the high priest and of all priests was to know God's word and to teach God's word. They were supposed to be messengers of God. One of the verses we quoted the last time was in Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10. And I like that the example we got from Ezra as a priest. He sought the law of the Lord. He sought to do it and to teach Israel statutes and judgments. This was a function of the priests. And while their offices in the temple did not allow them all to serve, and they had many functions, uses in the temple, while their functions in the temple did not allow all to serve in the tabernacle or in the temple, they all could have been serving, sharing the word among the people. And similarly here, in the assemblies of God's people, in the gatherings of God's people, in the church, we may not all be called to do a special task in the church, whether it's opening the doors, turning on the lights, or some special task. But whatever God has called to do, do it cheerfully. But what God has called every one of us to do as priests is to show forth His praises, to share God's word to all around us. That's what we all can be doing all the time. So when we looked at the duties of the priests, those people who are walking in their lovely linen clothes, looking so white, for us, we know we should be walking in linen clothes too. But ours is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He covers us every whit with His righteousness. And He works in me and in you, in every one of us, that we should show forth His presence. I sometimes refer you to that verse in Philippians 2 and 13, which said, that is He that works in us both to will and to do of His own good pleasure. But in Philippians 1, there's another lovely little verse. I don't know if I brought it to your attention. 1:11 says, being filled with all the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. So our walk, as we move among men at home, on the street, with the hammer, in whatever we do, God works in us that we might be filled with His fruits of righteousness. But when you look at the priests and their functions, and the high priest in particular, you had first in the temple that brazen altar and that brass bowl called the laver. That's all the common people saw. All they saw was that brazen altar and the laver, the brazen altar to which they brought their sacrifices, the laver which the priests washed themselves before entering into the tabernacle. They saw blood flowing. But David could have said in Psalm 122, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. There's a certain thrill in going to God's house and observing those sacrifices and seeing, as God describes, the order going up to Him, the peace offerings, what have you. But I like Psalm 84 where he expressed it. Psalm 84 in verse 2, he said, or rather, verse 1 and 2 to Titus. He said, how amiable are your tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cries out for the living God. See, that's a beautiful psalm. If you haven't checked it recently, check Psalm 84. So, although they only saw that, it drew them to understand something of God's mercies. I should be dying, But I place my hand on that animal and I confess my sins as it were. In penitence, I look to him. And that animal dies, reminding me of the awfulness of my sin when they did that and the mercy God shows in receiving them. And that thrilled their hearts with joy. My heart longs for the courts of God. Now, what was also significant about that spot, the door of the tabernacle, where the sacrifices were offered, was that God said, I will meet you there. You see, in spite of my sin, God devised means whereby I can come and have fellowship with him. I will meet you and I will speak with you or commune with you there. Believe you me, you say the way of the cross leads home. If we recognize we have done wrong, we come to Christ who died for us, and his blood doth cleanse us from all sin. He that cleanses us from the sin that had been committed. He smashes the sin we might be committing right now because I don't know how we're thinking. And he cleanses us from the sin that will be committed. His blood cleanses us from all sin. Therefore, there's no more sacrifice for sins. And this I do rejoice in, that there's a safety and a security and assurance that we find in Christ, that when we trust in him, as in Hebrews, the last chapter speaks of the everlasting covenant, an agreement that cannot be changed, and for which we praise him. He receives us, and nothing alters it. So, the priests all, and also the high priest, if he wanted, could have gone beyond that curtain into the tabernacle, and there was the showbread, there was the candlesticks, and before that the altar of incense. Praise to God, strength from God, light that will be shining. Then there was another curtain, and that barred the other priests and allowed the high priest to enter in the section called the Holiest of Holies, in which there was just one thing, one item of furniture, a box made out of wood and covered with gold that was called the Ark. And on the top of that box, that Ark, the Ark of the Covenant, was a flat piece of gold called the mercy seat. It covered it. And on the mercy seat, there were made two cherubims, a classification of angels. And these cherubims were looking down at the mercy seat. And God also said that he will meet them at the mercy seat. First, he said, I'll meet you at the door of the tabernacle where the offerings were made. Then secondly, he said, I will meet you at the mercy seat, the place of communion, intimate fellowship with God. The priest could not normally enter into that place. The high priest rather of earth could not enter into that place except by also taking blood for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. He sprinkled that blood on the mercy seat. Only he could have entered there, and that once a year. But every day and every year, these animals were killed. And it could not bring the ultimate answer to sin and God's acceptance of us. But what amazes me is that these cherubims were looking down at the mercy seat. I think they were flabbergasted. You know why? They can't fathom God. His grace, His mercy, His wisdom. You see, the cherubim and angels also saw what happened in an age in the past. When Lucifer, that old serpent, disobeyed God, rose up in pride, and other angels with him, what happened? There was no mercy. They were cast out of heaven. And they are being held in Tartarus in hell in chains of darkness. And I don't think those chains meant this physical light which you can turn on and off. The darkness is probably their chains of rebellion and disobedience and pride and willfulness and sin. They're held there. They can't escape it. Yet, these angels are looking down upon us. And God is telling willful human beings, I'm giving you a chance to come meet me. You can meet me. I can't fathom it, but I just praise God for it. I think the book of Ephesians chapter 2 gives us a little glimpse of that. Ephesians 2, maybe you could just look at a verse there. The other verses you find in 1 Peter chapter 1, but just Ephesians chapter 2. Chapter 3 rather. It said verse 9, and please read back if you want to pick up more on that. It says, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which was before the beginning of the world had been hid in Christ, hid in God, who created all things in by Jesus Christ, to the intent that unto the principalities and powers and in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God according to eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. The angels are looking down that God showing us mercy. And that mercy is found only in the Lord Jesus Christ. We come recognizing, confessing our weaknesses and our sin. And you've got to look at it. And when we come to Him, God receives us and blesses us because of Christ. The angels are amazed at this. Remember, we can't play around with God. The mercy seat. Only the priest entered into with that spot once a year. God was very particular when he says, tell Aaron, don't think you should go in there every time. That's what God told Aaron. Don't go there. And once a year. But you know, human beings could be utterly presumptuous. Even the Levites who transported the ark did not see it. They didn't see it. Because before they transported it, when they were removed in the wilderness, you know what? Aaron and his sons had to cover the ark with the veil and with the badger skin. And they covered it. And they put the poles in it. And when it was well, all things were well covered up. Then the Levites came and lifted it along. They didn't see it. But things drift. When we don't stick close to God's word, things drift. And God wants you and me. God wants us to really read God's word. Constantly be like the Bereans. Don't be satisfied with what we knew 20 years ago or even 2 years ago. Let us read and feed that God may teach us. And when God teaches us, don't keep it to yourself. Share it. Why I'm saying this is, look, in the days of Samuel, just before his days rather, in the days of Eli, things had gone bad.
people had drifted. How is it that when they were facing the battle, the elders of Israel could have turned to the people and said, go bring that ark from Shiloh? Sometimes I wonder if when the ark came on the battlefield, the reason for the shout was they hadn't seen it before. And that amazing thing could have weakened them for the battle instead of helped them. They hadn't seen it before. Another spot when it was brought back into the land, many men went and looked into it. And they died. More could have died because they had disobeyed God. Uzzah put his hand in it and he died. And it was a mild representation of God. God is very gracious to us for our shortcomings and weaknesses. God is to be feared. He's very kind. But don't, as people say, push your luck. I thank God in his grace, he chastises his own people when they do some things that are wrong. Ask God day by day to give us humble hearts. If not, pride will take hold of us. And then disobedience, arrogance in different ways. So you've got to bow low before God and look to him. Why am I saying all of this? You see, Jesus is our high priest. I could not get close to him. There were barriers. If I had been a Gentile, or if I had been someone who was in some way deformed, I couldn't even get close. And then even if I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews, but not of the tribe of son of Aaron, all I could have been on the outside. A priest could only have gone into the holy place. He could not have gone to the holiest. But what did we read here? The Lord Jesus Christ came in Hebrews chapter 10 rather. Let's look at it again. Just very quickly. Hebrews 10. Verse 19, it said, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he is consecrated through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near. In other words, that veil that was there that separated man from having intimate communion with God has been torn down. Jesus lived the life that I should have lived but could not. And he died for all my sins. Those past, those present, and those future. He died for all. I am in him. And God wants each one of us to humbly, joyfully, with fear, come near and experience the blessedness, the joy, the peace that he gives. Don't stay on the outside. Don't do like Peter falling afar off. Draw near. God wants us to draw near. His flesh fulfilled all that God needed, that he may commune with you and with me day by day. God loves us. It's a privilege. A real privilege. And I have to go over those verses which you can read again. Once for all, perfected forever. One sacrifice for sins forever. All that you read this morning, that his blood was poured out to cleanse us. The sacrifice was made to make us ready. We have access. We have access. We have access. And I just want, and this is in anticipation of it. Then there are two lettuces. Let us. Draw near with true assurance of faith, verse 22. With our bodies washed with pure water. I didn't address that this time, but the last time we did. The priest washing themselves. Hold fast to the profession of your faith. Let us consider one another. And considering one, not because we're wonderful, but because God is working in your heart and mind to consider one another. Not forsaking the gathering of ourselves together as a manner of some is. Let us enjoy ourselves together to show forth the Lord is coming. Back to Ephesians chapter 2 again for just a verse. Ephesians 2. And this sees the whole idea that we're no longer outside of the tabernacle, outside of the courts. We're no longer kept out of the holy place. We're no longer kept out of the Holy of Holies. But in Christ, something marvelous has happened. We who are far off have now been brought near. And in chapter 2 and verse 18, they've got a little verse there. We stopped just before that just now. Chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 11 and 12. According to the eternal purpose which he had purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access by faith, the faith of him. And then what I had in the first place was 2:18. It says, through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. No longer cut off. But we have that closeness with God. Let's enjoy God. Remember, God is always seeking to reach down to us. He walked with Adam in the garden. Adam ran away and hid himself. And he provided means when that animal was slain and they were covered with the skins of animals. He showed a picture of the high priest who firstly presents God to man and then presents man to God. The last time he considered lots of things, he was tempted in all points like as we are. He makes intercession with us continually. And the priest physically bore in his breast stones representing the 12 tribes of Israel. Presenting man to God. But in reality, he does it by the offering on that day of atonement for himself first and then for the people. Jesus, the perfect one, did not have to offer anything for himself. But he offered himself for us. He made, as we said in Hebrews chapter 13, his blood provided an everlasting covenant. That verse is Hebrews 13 and 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well pleasing in his sight. How he does it? Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you again for your
abundant grace towards us. We thank you, O Lord, that when others were shut out because of their sin, you devised the means through the willingness of your Son, whereby we can be cleansed from every sin, seen and unseen, that we can be covered with his righteousness, that we can have fellowship with him, with you. Take charge of us, O God. Take charge of our hearts that we may rest in you and rejoice in you and praise thee from the bottom of our hearts, we sometimes say, for the blessed acceptance which we have in the person of your Son Jesus. So graciously bless us and use our lives to bring glory to your name day after day. We ask these things with thanksgivings in the name of thy Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Number 177. Our great high priest is sitting. Cheers.